Ladies and gentlemen, your feature presentation.
Loving me, I loving you. Mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life, won't live in the past. All I wanna do now is making it last. Mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, friends for.
Welcome to another conversation. This is Making It Last podcast. I'm your host, Noreen Dealer. It's all about helping us to have better relationships, not just with ourselves, but with other people. And we're going to be talking about a delicate topic this time around, the whole idea of suicide. Why? More often than not, and I think even with this pandemic, there are individuals who, for whatever reason, are becoming more vocal and sharing sometimes when they have suicidal thoughts. So we're going to be talking about how do you show up for someone having suicidal thoughts. And joining me in this conversation this time around, we have Roxanne White, who is the Department of Communication Studies at Northern Caribbean University. She's the female Burgundy Jacket holder for this school year 2021 to 2022. But most importantly, in this context, she is a mental health advocate. And of course, it is not just about us lay persons speaking about this. We have Dr. Orlene Brown Earle from Northern Caribbean University, who is a consultant psychologist. Now, a lot of times, individuals who will watch this and listen to this think of a psychologist and a psychiatrist as the same thing. So just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, Dr. Brown Earle, just give us that distinction.
Thank you so much, Ms. Daly. Okay, friends, let's listen up. A psychologist is someone who has been trained to work with mental health, whether through therapy or research. So you can have an educational psychologist, a counseling psychologist, a clinical psychologist, or a social psychologist. However, the psychiatrist is an individual who has had medical training to become a general practitioner and then had additional training to work with individuals with severe mental health disorders. The psychiatrist in Jamaica is the person who will prescribe medication for the person with the mental health problems. Psychologists don't necessarily prescribe medication. Okay. Psychologists will largely do the therapy, but the psychiatrists look at the medical issues before they prescribe medication.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So just to set a tone for the conversation, ladies, the whole idea of showing up, what do you interpret that to mean? When we say where we're going to show up for somebody who's having suicidal thoughts, what does that mean? Roxanne?
Showing up for me means being there for the person, means supporting the person in whatever way. If you're not physically there, being present, like calling, texting, and finding out what the person needs to see how best you can help. If you're physically close, then literally showing up, going to the person's house, going to the person's office, just being there. That's what I interpret showing up to be.
Okay. Dr. Brown Earle.
Right. And that's basically it. So showing up simply means that you're going to be there because you recognize that your friend had some relationship issues and they're not coping well. You recognize that your friend has some academic difficulties and they're not coping well. And so as soon as you realize they're not coping well, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're using words that seem as if they're going to hurt themselves, you're going to be there as quickly as you can for them. Sitting and talking, calling and texting, as was shared just a while ago by Roxanne, just being there for them as best as you can.
It is, there are some persons who Dr. Brown Earl and Roxanne, when they are feeling that way or you sense that they're a little off, they insist that they want to be alone. How then do you show up? Anyone?
All right. So they insist that they want to be alone. Mm-hmm. So one of the persons you want to do is make sure I talk about their physical health. You want to know if they're eating. So don't just leave them alone. Say, you know, you have anything to eat? So it might give you an excuse to come back and take something for them to eat. Find a way to stay as best as possible once you recognize that they are not coping well. So if you have something to eat, oh, they just want to be alone. Well, let me just spend a few minutes cooking for you or ordering something or going to pick up something quickly so I can come back and see how you're doing. But do things to try to stay as close as physically possible or on the phone talking to them as much as possible. As best as possible, if you can do a video conversation to keep them focused and keep them, you know, their attention going and so on, try to do that. But once you realize that in your gut feeling, you feel that you feel uncomfortable about what they're saying, try to be in their space, but don't be overbearing.
Okay. Roxanne, you want to add anything to that?
I concur with much of what was said. What I would add to that is if there are family members or housemates or persons within the vicinity that you can have check on the person and you are not actually there, you could ask them to keep tabs from a safe enough distance. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would add.
Okay. I'm going to backtrack a bit to something that Dr. Brown Earl just said, the whole idea of being overbearing. That might mean different things to different people. You care to elaborate on that? Because for a particular person, overbearing might just mean actually physically showing up, while for another person, it could mean something else. So how then can somebody just make that distinction? So because if it is that you become overbearing, it might actually push them closer to the edge.
Okay, so if you're going to say that, okay, I'm not, you say to the friend, you know, I don't want to leave here because I want to make sure you have something to eat.
Right.
When they get the thing to eat and you sort that out, quote unquote, leave as best as you can, but don't be hanging around them when they make it clear that they don't want you around. Okay. So you're going to do what Roxanne says. If there's other persons physically close who can check in, but have the person to understand they must just check in, but not necessarily stay around, right? So don't do things that will make the person not even want you around. Make the person feel uncomfortable. Offer them something. If they don't want it, then you go and do what you need to do, which might mean going to get help to come back to help the person. But look at their body language. And if they're uncomfortable and they just don't want you to be around, before you leave, however, you can look around to see if you see anything that they might use to hurt or harm themselves. And probably find a way to remove that from the situation. But if they keep on insisting they don't want you there, go, but don't go too far or find someone else who can check in on them while you have moved away.
As I said when I started, this is a delicate conversation or a touchy topic, but we're going to just take a short break right now and listen to some of my partners, and then we'll be right back.
Are you struggling to become an effective communicator? Let Noreen Daly, the communication specialist, get you there. Services include communications consultancy, one-on-one coaching, public speaking and debate training, leadership and team building sessions, plus much more. Visit NoreenDaly.com for more info. Noreen Daly, redefining the way you communicate.
So the whole idea of a branding strategy sounded so exotic and so fancy to me. But after having several conversations with Neon, I now have a clearer understanding. I am sure of what my identity is, what it is that I want people to see Noreen Daly as. Thanks, Neon. Thanks, Splint. Visit them at wearesplint.com.
Are you looking for one-of-a-kind products customized to suit your needs? Then shop at Trending Things, the place where customization is always an option. From personalized gifts to apparel, accessories, drinkware, and home decor, you name it, we make it. Get your favorite designs on any item for party favors, weddings, graduations, or any special occasion, all at affordable prices. What are you waiting for? Visit our website at trendingthings.com to order your trendy item today. Trending Things, bringing creativity to the things you love.
Okay, before we get into the solution in terms of how we can really probably show up even some more, Roxanne, I know you have personal experience with this particular issue, because I know in conversation we've had, you lost somebody to suicide. And there's still questions surrounding the friend of mine. It has never been confirmed. He was living overseas and they found him in questionable circumstances, and they said that that's what it was. So, but for you, you have personal experience. For you, we're having this conversation. How do you feel about this? And do you think it is that, for whatever reason, looking back, some of you didn't show up for your friend? Or is it that she just decided that this was the way I'm going to go, and she just did it?
With that particular friend, the last time we had a conversation, we had an argument. So I was put at a very far distance.
Okay.
She migrated. So when she migrated, I didn't really know the person she was connected with. Mm-hmm. And she did a pretty good job of masking whatever issues she had. So she was that person who was constantly posting positive quotes and videos and that type of thing. So it was literally a case where we did not see it coming. but I've had other friends who would self-harm or would say things like, what would you do if I died tomorrow? One of the things I constantly do is to just pop in, because mm-hmm. you know, the whole idea of wanting to be left alone, I'll just pop in, or I'll just send a random message thinking mm-hmm. of you, or I ask, did you eat today? There are times when I pop in physically, but I don't stay. I just say, oh, I brought you lunch here, I'm gone again. But in terms of how I feel about the whole thing, it can be a very tight rope.
Okay.
Sometimes it feels like walking on a tight rope or walking on eggshells, because here is this person that you really, really care about who's doing this, and you're trying to help. They don't want to help. Because I had one friend who was just like, leave me alone. And the day when she overdosed, I heard about it. I went to the hospital and I wasn't allowed to say anything about it. So it's like, how do I process this? Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to talk about it. I want to ask questions. It hurts. So what I had to do was to unpack that in counseling for myself, because it had an impact on me that I didn't anticipate that it would have. So,
So, You just, and I'm going to ask Dr. Brown to comment on this before we continue. I think for a lot of persons listening and watching, they're thinking, oh, it's when I see my friend being sad and depressed that it is that they might be having suicidal thoughts. But here it is that Roxanne said that her friend was posting positive, you know, messages on the different platforms, and yet she was still harboring these thoughts. So Dr. Brown Earl, and this whole idea of masking maybe what's happening inside, how can we then probably look beyond all of that?
And that's where it really gets hard, you know, because people mask and you can't physically take off the mask to see what's happening. You can't open their brains to see how they're thinking. And so the most you can do is, if you notice any little difference in their thinking. Sometimes I realize that if they're putting up a lot of these positive things, And you're like, you know, because after a while, you're supposed to get a little bored of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of it. Then you can probably say, you don't know what's happening here. Another thing too is that sometimes the persons really present with a mental health disorder that you cannot diagnose. And even myself cannot diagnose it unless they come into my office and ask them certain questions and they respond in particular ways to several instruments so that I can compare and contrast. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes it so hard with suicide. It's not the easiest thing because the persons Christmas is coming and they're giving everybody presents. But because they're giving different people presents, you don't even realize that they're giving away their private items, which is one of the signs. But because they're not doing it to people in your little circle, mm-hmm. you don't even pick up on it. So the thing to understand is that you, as best as possible, not to feel guilty, because there's some signs that you will never identify. The ones that you can identify, the depression, the agitation, the hopelessness, the poor coping skills, those you do your best and work with. But the reality is there are many times that you will never identify. You see, let's think about somebody who was abused as a child, whichever type, mm-hmm. and they never got therapy. And they go to college, they do well, they get a job, they do well, and everything goes well. But there's a little thing called post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. All you need is one incident, 2 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road to trigger the memory, and they can become hopeless. So these are some of the real issues out there that, you know, it makes it hard for you to identify persons who might be suicidal.
How then, Dr. Brown Earl, do you then say to your friend or your family member, I think it is time for you to get some professional help? You know, at what point you say, no, this is a bit much now, you need professional intervention.
And so you're going to be as best as possible, try to remember some of the signs and say, you know, I've noticed since last in September, you were doing some things that was not like you anymore. And even in October, I saw the same things happening. What we find is that sometimes when we get specific with the person to say, this is what I see, and this is not usually you, you know, then they say, hold on a minute, somebody's been paying attention here. But the thing that sadly, you can lead the horse to water, they say, but you can't make them drink. So you can simply talk and say, these are the things I've noticed. You don't want to hang out anymore. You get anxious every time you go by that place or speak with that person. And you just guide the person to seeking help. What you can do, and that we encourage you to do, is to go with the person. Don't just send them alone. Many times people will go when they know they have the help and the support. Eh? So block out some time and say, you know what? I need you to talk to Dr. Johnson. Let's go together and talk about my concerns and let's see what you say when you go there. So that can be very, very helpful because then they truly know that they're not alone and there's somebody here who's willing to give up some time to help them.
So it's obvious that this is not the end of this conversation. This is just part one. We've been talking to Roxanne White, mental health advocate, and Dr. Brown Earl, consultant psychologist. This is just part one. Join us for the conclusion of this conversation. How do you show up for someone having suicidal thoughts? Making you last is all I care to do. You loving me, I loving you. Mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sisters and brothers, friends for life, won't live in the past. All I wanna do now is making it last.